Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. It's 1 o'clock. I believe we have a quorum. We can start.
All right. Thank you, Halle. Welcome, everybody, to what is the March edition of our monthly meeting. I will go ahead and let's do a roll call.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Michael Carbone. Nathan Young.
Present.
Jeff Paulson.
I'm here.
J.R. Sloan.
Here.
Jigadeesan Krishnamoorthy.
Here.
Doug Lane.
Here.
Eddie Cook.
Here.
Christine Ward.
Here.
Thank you. Michael Carpenter.
Here.
Stuart Brunner.
I'm present.
Lev Gonick. Ryan Murray.
I am here.
Thank you so much. Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
All right. Once again, hope you all are enjoying the Arizona weather. We are, I think, headed back towards warmer temperatures again, but you know the big ones are coming. So get out and enjoy it while you can. I will ask the staff, did we receive any conflict of interest forms with regard to today's items?
Mr. Chairman, we don't have any.
Okay. Just as a reminder to our committee members, if we do approach an agenda item and you feel you have a conflict that you need to register, just raise your hand and we'll note it in the minutes and we will handle the paperwork after the fact. But make sure that we do record it. I will remind folks that this is a public meeting and we do follow public meeting law. If you have comments, we provided a link in our agenda for you to submit those comments and the staff will disposition the comments accordingly. If there's no further items there, we have I'll step into our first item, which is our approval of the February 19th recording. Oh, Stuart, are you going to take an exception here?
Mr. Chairman, as you
can I didn't even get to the item yet.
Yeah, sorry. I wanted to make sure the hand got up right away, but I'm going to need to abstain because I have not listened.
Understood. Okay. We'll take a motion with regard to the February 19th recording as our minutes, knowing in advance Stuart will abstain.
Mr. Chair, it's Eddie. I move to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Eddie. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chair, this is Jeggy. I second.
Thanks, Jeggy. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And noting Stuart's abstention. All right. We'll go into our first item for voting, which is a change request that comes to us from the Department of Economic Security.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Bob Mussey. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Department of Economic Security, who will introduce themselves shortly, followed by a brief overview of the project change request. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, on August 21st, 2024, ITAC approved the original project investment justification to procure the A to Z Arizona portal, formerly known as the Authentication Portal Phase 1 solution. The DES Office of the Director is requesting approval on the change request for timeline only, extending the project for an additional 2 months. The additional time will allow for necessary integration development. I will now turn it over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed change request and answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. It's a pleasure to come before you today to talk about the change request timeline only, as Bob pointed out. Next slide, please. As you may remember, back in August when DES came before the committee for the initial phase and approval for the project, this was really the earliest stage of the development associated with the A to Z Arizona portal that DES is now leveraging initially for our child care program. The product was to go live on October 31st. I am pleased to announce that we met that goal. We were live on October 31st as planned, and the portal has been quite successful since implementation, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go through. The initial solution was, of course, focused around identity and access management, making sure that those that were seeking service for our child care program were who they said they were and that they were eligible to receive those services. So it does have an integrated identity verification through ID.me. And we also leverage Octave for single sign-on capabilities. It is also available 24/7. Prior to developing the portal, all assistance applications for childcare were paper, unfortunately. And so a childcare applicant had to fill out a 15 to 20 page application in paper format and get that to the agency. And then we would have to input all of that data. We are now beyond that. We have, for the first time ever, an online automated childcare application through the portal. The initial PIDGE and subsequent change request spanned through June 30th of this year, and we will be looking to extend that for timeline only as part of this change request, and had development cost of just over $7.8 million. Next slide, please. The change request, as Bob indicated, this was this will be the second change request. The first one was to increase the budget from $5.6 million to $7.8 million. These covered the cost of staff members that were not included in the original PIDGE, but subsequently, because of the use of APF funding for the project, it was determined that those staffing costs needed to be included. And so that was part of the first change request. And then we are seeking to extend that timeline that was originally proposed. Next slide, please. So current overall project health is green. You can see a little bit of a yellow color there with the schedule. And that is why we're before you today asking for the change request for the extension of time. We have met every one of the milestones up to this point. Release 3, and we'll talk a little bit more about it here. Release 3 is where we're seeing some challenges around API development and being able to get those completed. That API work is between our mainframe application for the child care program and the portal. And we've experienced some difficulties due to the antiquated nature of the mainframe application and need a little bit more time to work through that with our vendor to get those completed. We currently don't have any open risks or issues other than the delay in the API development. Next slide. The change request is to extend the timeline for the project from June 30th to August 30th. That will allow us to complete the API work and pay any follow-up invoices. Again, no cost increase, just the timing of when those invoices would be paid, because they are milestone-based payments. Until those milestones are met, we would not make those payments. So need a little bit more time to develop those APIs and then subsequently pay any invoices. A couple of things that I do want to point out and why we're taking a little bit more time in making sure that the changes are done not just right, but right for our customers. Since we've launched the portal on October 31st, our customer satisfaction rating for the portal, we did integrate the Qualtrics customer satisfaction process into the portal as part of one of the second deployments of the portal. Those Qualtrics metrics, our customer satisfaction rating as of January was 93% satisfaction with the portal. We have over 2,100 individuals that have created accounts in the portal, and we've processed over 1,500 applications for childcare assistance since going live. And one of the scores that I think our team and I especially am most proud of, if you're not familiar with it, there's a score that is used to determine how likely are folks to recommend that product or that portal or application to their friends, family, and others. And that net promoter score is what it's called. And that score can range from negative 100 to where they're not going to recommend it to anybody and they prefer not even to use it themselves, to a score of 100. Anything above a score of 70 is considered to be industry leading. And our net promoter score as of January was just over 61. So to have that level of a net promoter score with the application, our folks are incredibly proud, as am I and our vendor, of really standing up a product that our customers like and want to use and recommend using to folks that they know. So really proud of that, really proud of the work that the team has done on the portal up to this point. And so, as you can imagine, we want to make sure that whatever gets done with the portal gets done right, not just for DES and our staff, but also for our customers that are really happy with the product as we've deployed it. Next slide. As you can see, the revised milestone, milestone six, that is looking at the planning phase and then also the additional work on the APIs, that is revised start date of April 30th, and that would then push milestone nine, which is the closeout, from the current April to August. Next slide, please. Again, this is just a breakdown of the timeline, looking at what changed. It's that project closeout phase, and then doing that release four, which is the API work that is new, and that's what will commence work in April. Next slide. Project cost, again, no change here over the five-year total. So no changes in the project cost. Next slide. Recommendations assessment from the IVMV. You can see that they have categorized the project as green overall in all categories. So there are no current open, medium, or high risks. The risks associated with the API work are considered low risk. But right now, the IVMV is green for the project, which is very good news. Next slide. With that, Mr. Chair, members, I will open it up for any questions that the committee may have.
Thank you, Mark. Committee members, any questions on this? All right, if there are none, I'll turn it back over to you, Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Asset is recommending that the change request be approved with the conditions as presented.
All right, so I think the first two are pretty much our standard conditions. The additional conditions in three and four have been completed. So any comment or questions on the conditions? If there are none, I will take a motion with regard to the change request.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the change request with the conditions as presented.
Thanks, Michael. Do we have a second?
I'll second this, Stuart.
Thank you, Stuart. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Unanimously approved. Mark, continue on. And congratulations on the success that you're having so far with the portal on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. We greatly appreciate it and look forward to furthering the project.
All right. Don't get too far away, Mark. I think you're coming right back. So next one up is change request regarding Dabimi's return to mail solution. So Bob, I think you're up again.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Bob Mussey. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today once again by the Department of Economic Security, who will introduce themselves, followed by a brief overview of the project change request. Mr. Chairman, on October 3rd, 2023, ADOA Asset approved the Department of Economic Security Division of Benefits and Medical Eligibility Return Mail Solution. DES is requesting approval on a change request for timeline, extending the project for an additional 9 months, and adding image repository to the scope of the project. I will now turn it over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed change request and answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. Again, Mark Darmer, CIO for the Department of Economic Security. I'm joined today by some of the project team members, Melissa Hyde, who is one of our Dabimi project administrators, Justin Harris, who is our Dabimi project manager, and Ernest Baca, who works within our Dabimi systems administration. Next slide. The project that we're talking about was one, as Bob indicated, was approved back in October, and it centered around a returned mail solution. The project really encompassed two phases. The initial PIDGE request was for the equipment, which is mailing equipment that is used to open returned mail, scan it, and process it for address corrections, things along those lines that need to be made to customers' data to make sure that they're getting their notifications and that we have updated address information for them. The initial PIDGE was for the equipment. We then subsequently did a change request to add a RPA or a bot to that solution to take those scanned images from the mailing equipment and be able to have those input into the Access HEA Plus application to eliminate the need to have staff key that information in. We currently have 22 folks that are entering that information into HEA Plus, and we're only able to process roughly 17% of the returned mail. You can imagine the volume of returned mail that means. And so that was a leading cause for us to seek this out so that we would be able to process those changes more quickly and more efficiently for our customers so that we make sure that we get them all of the notifications and mail associated with their Medicaid, TANF, SNAP information related to their cases. The current timeline was from October of 2023 through March of 2025. Again, part of what we have come to see is, as we've worked on this RPA, is there are a lot of security requirements, and rightfully so, around individuals' information and getting that information into HEA Plus and making sure that we adhere to all of the CMS regulations related to privacy and making sure that that bot lives within the very defined confines of what it is meant to do. So that has led to some of the delay that we've seen in getting things accomplished. And then, as Bob indicated, we are changing the repository for where those images will be stored. OnBase has been determined to be the most secure place for those images to reside. And so we are having to do a little bit of a change to utilize OnBase rather than our original proposed solution. Next slide. As you can see, and I talked a little bit about the change requests that have already been made, the first change request was to add in the cost of the bot development and deployment, and then also looking at that schedule change that we discussed back in November. We are still struggling to get through all the security documentation and development to ensure that we're meeting all of the CMS regulations, which are quite extensive. Next slide, please. Current overall health is red, again, mainly due to those delays around the schedule. This is a milestone-based contract. I want to make sure that folks are aware of that. So we are not paying a vendor when milestones have not been met. The vendor is working with us on those schedule issues and making sure that they are being compliant with those security requirements. We did have that pause in August of last year, and we're also working through an issue with the NASPO contract, which this was procured under. We had a delay there because the vendor was not on the new NASPO contract that was issued, so we had to work through that. That delayed us through December of 2024. So we're on the ground running again to get this completed, but due to those security changes and the change in the image repository, we are going to need to extend the project timeline. Next slide, please. Again, the change request for today is extending the timeline from March this year to December of this year to work through the security pieces and make sure that we get the security documentation as required by CMS and Access complete and accepted by Access. So that is extending our timeline, and then also changing the image repository over to OnBase is requiring some change over there. We did have to issue a new task order again because of the NASPO contract issue, and getting that completed took a little bit longer than we anticipated. So the change request again is not budget related. It is timeline and the scope issue of the image repository being on base. Next slide, please. Project milestones, as you can see, Sprint 3, which was the development, has been delayed. Some of that due to the NASPO contract issue and then changing the image repository. We're in flight with the Access security approval for the security plan and working very closely with them. We appreciate their partnership. Moving on to Sprint 4, that will be delayed for a start to August instead of the original plan September of last year. And then Sprint 5, the move to production would not take place until September. And then the closeout would take us for payment of invoices related to final milestones, post-implementation support, and those pieces would do that payment timeline, taking that out from originally December of last year to October through December of this year. Next slide, please. Again, just more of a depiction of the revised timeline associated with the sprints, and then moving the start for lessons learned payment and closeout to October of this year from the original planned December timeline of last year. Next slide. The revised project scope, as you can see, is looking at changing the OnBase to the OnBase repository. The OnBase solution is better in terms of security, and also looking at the optical character recognition and document understanding functionality that will be uploaded into OnBase and taking advantage of that functionality. That is looking at about 200 additional hours to make that change And again, no cost associated with that, but we are in flight of making that change over to use of OnPace. Next slide, please. Again, project costs, you can see the original change request and the impact of that on the project cost. And then there was a very minor $4,000 cost associated with the OnBase piece. But again, that falls within the 10% threshold. So not a change request needed to the budget scope, but we did want to portray it in full disclosure for folks that may be looking at the project cost. Next slide. With that, Mr. Chair, members, I will answer any questions that you may have.
All right, thanks, Mark. Open it up to the committee for questions. All right, if there are no questions, back to you, Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Asset is recommending that this change request be approved with the conditions as presented. I'd like to inform the committee that condition C has been satisfied with the Department of Homeland Security for this change request.
All right, I'll open for any discussion or questions on the conditions. If there are none, I will accept a motion with regard to the change request.
Mr. Chairman, this is Stuart. I'll move approval with the two remaining recommendations still.
All right, do we have a second?
Yes, Chair, this is Jaggi. I'm seconding this.
All right, thank you, Jaggi. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that's a unanimous approval. Good luck, Mark, with continued progress on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members, for your time today. Greatly appreciate it. And I'll turn it over to others to have fun.
All right, thanks, Mark. Okay, so that completes our voting items. We are into informational updates. And the first informational update comes to us from the Department of Revenue on the STARS project.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Once again, my name is Bob Mussey. I'm an engagement manager of the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Department of Revenue. The team will introduce themselves, then provide the committee with an informational update to the overall status of the State Tax Accounting and Reconciliation System, otherwise known as STARS, Discovery and Planning Phase, PIDGE RV23006. And now I will turn it over to the Department of Revenue.
Bob, thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Robert Woods. I'm Director of the Department of Revenue. I will hand it off to our Deputy Director, Neeraj Deshpande, shortly. He's going to go through the bulk of the material. But I serve as executive sponsor for this project. So as such, it is a very large part of what I'm responsible for, in addition to the overall running of the agency. And I will stick around on this presentation in case there are any questions directed towards me later on. With that, I'll hand over to Neeraj.
Thank you, Director Woods. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Neeraj Deshpande. I am the Deputy Director of the Arizona Department of Revenue. And before we start, I would like to thank you all so much for taking time to meet with us this afternoon. The scope of this presentation today is to provide a progress update of the STARS program through February of fiscal year 25. Key items to be covered include project status and overall health, overview of the most recent Gartner IBNV risk assessment report, project timeline, and key project milestones, and STARS and the STARS financial summary. Next slide, please. The STARS discovery and planning phase officially completed on February 28, 2025, and consisted of the following major milestones. Project framework, creation of key project framework documents such as the project plan and strategy, risk and issue management, change management, and quality control plans. Discovery and planning activities, documentation of current ADOR business processes, which will serve as a foundation for the delivery of RevHub integrated tax system. Analytic models, early deployment of three new analytic models collection optimizations, accounts receivable, minimization, and TPT audits. Liquor luxury tax, implementation of the RevHub integrated tax system, liquor luxury tax application. The original target to go live date for liquor luxury tax was February 2025. The remaining slides are to serve as an overall program update on the milestones achieved as well as delayed during this phase. Next slide, please. The STARS program health card covers the time period of August 2023 to February 2025. The STARS program health card is backed by project metrics, which are monitored as part of the biweekly Voyatech project status report, as well as visual management tools. The current status of the STARS program as of February 2025 is as follows. On the budget side, the STARS project is currently tracking under budget. The variance is due to milestones deliverables, which have been delayed and shifted into another phase, subsequently delaying the corresponding milestone payments. More details will be provided in an upcoming slide. The budget, expenditures, and estimates are reviewed monthly as part of the APF financial reporting. The primary budget risk to the overall STARS program is related to schedule. Should the program implementation schedule exceed the revised budget end date of August 2029, there is a risk to the current budget plan. Schedule. The STARS project has experienced delays in the delivery schedule for liquor luxury tax. Key high-level contributing factors include 1, initial deployment of a tax type, and 2, the delivery of a new integrated tax system product. A revised implementation plan and schedule extending the liquor luxury tax timeline from February to December 2025 has been accepted by DOR, pending ITAC approval. Key mitigation strategies are in place to drive and monitor project execution, including program reporting and a performance-based payment structure. Scope. The schedule of the implementation of liquor luxury tax and the analytic models was brought forward, thereby increasing the scope and complexity of the discovery and planning phase. Risks and issues. The project risks and issues are actively managed according to the STARS risk and issues management plans. The Gartner risk assessment score for STARS project is high, red. These risks are being actively reviewed and monitored according to the mitigation plan. A summary of these risks will be provided in an upcoming slide. Next slide, please. As mentioned, the STARS project has experienced delays in the delivery of liquor luxury tax. The key contributing factors include 1, increased discovery phase scope. The schedule for the implementation of liquor luxury tax and the analytic models was brought forward, thereby increasing the scope and complexity of the discovery phase. 2, increased program complexity. The increased scope raised the number of parallel activities, which increased the program complexity, as well as the resource contention across teams. 3, delivery delays. The ramp up of RevHub product development and setup of technical environment was slow to progress, highlighting key issues with product and environment maturity. To address these delays, the STARS project team established the following key mitigation strategies. Revised project plan and schedule. A revised implementation plan and schedule has been accepted by ADOR, pending ITAC approval, shifting the delivery of the liquor luxury tax from February to December 2025. STARS due diligence. Voyatech, ADOR, and Gartner engaged in a detailed product and a technical discussions and demonstrations to assess program readiness, product maturity, and to better inform future planning. The outcome resulted in a detailed plan addressing key areas of improvement. More detail will be provided in an upcoming slide. Enhanced performance-based payment milestones have been jointly reviewed and agreed upon with the aim to be implemented as part of the Phase 1 liquor luxury tax implementation. ADOR will continue to focus on serving taxpayers, especially the taxpayer dollars that have been dedicated to the development of a future integrated tax system. Next slide, please. As mentioned in the last slide, ADOR, in conjunction with Voyatech and Gartner, engaged in a detailed due diligence review of the product organization, and project team, which consisted of the following activities. 1, a comprehensive review of the RevHub ITS technical architecture. 2, Grotto demonstrations showing key features and functions prioritized by ADOR and Gartner. 3, a detailed review of Voyatech's program and product organization charts and key roles. This was an extensive effort on behalf of ADOR, Voyatech, and Gartner. There were over 15 plus meetings, averaging 2 to 3 hours each, which resulted in a clear understanding of the state of the project, vendor, and the RevHub ITS product. The STARS due diligence effort resulted in the following key outcomes. Detailed mitigation plan that included input from ADOR, Gartner, and Voyatech addressed key improvement areas such as organization and skills gaps, product functionality, delivery preparedness, process improvements. Agreed upon performance-based payment milestones based on configured software for Arizona. Comprehensive metrics in place to measure performance. Executive engagement and commitment by Voyatech to address all mitigation actions. We have a weekly meeting with the executive sponsors from both ADOR and Voyatech, including the CEO of Voyatech. Next slide, please. In addition to the challenges, we would like to share some highlights of discovery and planning phase. During this time, the STARS project team have completed the following key deliverables. Documentation of current ADOR business processes, which resulted in a deliverable called Document of Understanding for each text type. A total of 19 documents of understanding were completed in an effort to ensure a shared understanding of ADOR business requirements. These deliverables will serve as a foundation for the delivery of the RevHub ITS application. Completion of the implementation plans for liquor and luxury and nuclear tax. Delivery of STARS revised phase schedule by Voyatech, a key deliverable of the discovery and planning phase, which is based upon learnings from the discovery and planning activities. We will review the schedule together in an upcoming slide. In addition, the STARS project team has initiated the STARS benefits realization effort. As part of that effort, key metrics have been established for the liquor luxury tax implementation that will be used to measure and monitor value derived by the implementation. The liquor metrics are just the beginning. We also plan to measure value for the analytic models as well as implementations of future tax types. Next slide, please. Please note, since the publication of this presentation, we have received some additional information that we would like to share. As a result, the collections optimization chart shown in the meeting today reflects a more current information than the presentation previously sent to the committee. The discovery and deployment of the following analytic models has been completed according to plan. These early win analytics were accelerated by Voyatech at no cost to DOR. The collections optimization analytic models A model was deployed in September of 2024. The goal of collections optimization is to prioritize ADOR's current collection inventory to surface the best cases to be worked by the collections team. The results through February include the collection of almost $21 million in gross collections revenue. In general, the collections optimization campaign differ from the current legacy campaigns as they reach out into older inventory and choose a highly collectible cases that likely would not have been targeted via the legacy solution selection process. When compared to the legacy collections methods, the new model has produced an estimated benefits of approximately almost $9 million of revenue that would not have been collected had we continued on the legacy selection process. In addition to the dollars collected, ADOR also cleared over $17 million in accounts receivable that was not collectible, but still needed manual intervention to cure the case. In light of the successes of the first iteration, the STARS joint leadership team is committed to expanding the program in an effort to further realize benefits of the analytic model. The accounts receivable minimization analytic model was deployed in February 2025. This model aims to reduce the accounts receivable amounts from within the 1 to 90 day late range. Initial results will be available in March of 2025. And finally, the TPT audit analytic model was also deployed in February 2025. The model works to identify TPT taxpayers who regularly file late in an effort to reduce noncompliance. Results will be available in April 2025. Next slide, please. The current Gartner Risk assessment score for STARS project is high. Red. Risks are actively reviewed and monitored by the ADOR and VOATIC according to risk management plan. The key Gartner recommendations according to the most recent report include the following. Prioritize core tax administration features. Prioritize development and testing of core tax administration features. Since the last report, VOATIC hosted the first program increment planning session for the STARS program in early February. The goal of PI planning is to jointly outline quarterly sprint plans, which are prioritized in alignment with program priorities, such as core tax administration features. The PR planning sessions will be held on an ongoing quarterly basis. Defining the acceptance criteria of features, ADOR functional business leads must be integrated into user stories and acceptance criteria definition for both business and IT requirements. ADOR and VOATIC teams have jointly aligned on structured approach using agile methodology. This approach identifies tax system functionality and breaks it down into components called features and user stories. ADOR product owners and function leads are integrated as part of the agile lifecycle, which includes feature and user story definitions, as well as the validation of acceptance criteria. VOATIC is not given credit for completion of a feature until the feature is fully validated and approved by ADOR. To support this effort, ADOR and VOATIC have participated in joint training workshops, as well as professional training classes on agile methodology and best practices. Defining project progress indicators, ADOR leadership must define the milestones and deadlines that will be used to measure project status, validation project value, and hold STARS vendor accountable. The STARS program has established a project plan, which is further broken down into program increments. The completion of associated work is tracked and monitored on a daily basis via status reporting by the project team, executive sponsors, and key oversight stakeholders. In addition, VOATIC and ADOR have agreed upon established targets, which are tied to performance payment milestones. In the last quarter, the STARS team was developed a series of dashboards and reports that align with established agile methodology and support delivery teams. The STARS teams are able to monitor daily progress through established reporting, which tracks progress by feature and user stories across functional, development, and testing teams. Gartner has also highlighted the following key bright spots. New STARS staff. VOATIC continues to add new staff, highly trained, educated, experienced to shore up the skills gaps and improve overall leadership, set direction, enhance technical and delivery expertise. Executive commitment. ADOR and VOATIC executive leaders meet weekly to review STARS progress, discuss challenges, have difficult conversations, and monitor action plans. Tax administration feature releases. RevHub's manual case creation and its integrated tax system account creation maintenance functionality was released into STARS QA environment. Next slide, please. The STARS discovery and planning phase timeline covers project initiation on August 8, 2023 through the completion of the discovery planning phase on February 28, 2025. The discovery and planning phase consisted of the delivery of the following major milestones. Discovery and planning activities, it concluded in December of 2024, consisted of documentation of current ADOR business processes and project framework deliverables. Liquor luxury tax implementation plan and schedule has been revised from February to December 2025 for release 1.1 and March of 2026 for release 1.2, pending ITAC approval. This revised phase schedule is based upon learnings from the discovery phase. Analytic models that we have recently talked about concluded in February 2025 according to plan and included early deployment of three new analytic models, including collections optimization, accounts receivable minimization, and TPT audit analytics. Next slide, please. The current proposed high-level timeline for the liquor luxury tax and corporate tax implementation phases was based upon the outcome of the discovery and planning phase. The timeline begins with the discovery and planning phase, which concluded in February 2025 after 18 months, and leads into the implementation plan phases as follows. Liquor luxury tax is scheduled to be implemented in December 2025 for release 1.1. and March of 2026 for release 1.2. The corporate tax is scheduled to be implemented in January 2027 for release 1.1 and March 2027 for release 1.2. The schedule for the remaining tax steps will be refined as the project moves forward and will incorporate key learnings from the ongoing tax step implementation. Please note that the dates shown on the slide reflect the proposed implementation schedule, which is still pending ITAC change request approval. Next slide, please. The financials outlooks shown on this slide does not cover the entire project budget. Rather, it reflects the current approved budget award. As mentioned earlier, the STARS project is currently tracking under budget. The variances are mainly due to delayed project deliverables and subsequent payments tied to those deliverables. The proposed extension of the liquor luxury tax implementation scheduled from February to December will result in a shift of expenditure to the out years. The primary budget risk to the overall STARS program is related to that schedule. Should the program implementation schedule exceed the revised budget end date of August 2029, there is a risk to the current budget plan. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this concludes the presentation. I wish to thank you for the opportunity to provide an update on the STARS project. We would like to now shift into the question and answer portion of the presentation, and we would be glad to answer any questions you may have, sir.
Thanks, Neeraj. With that, I'll open it up to the committee for any questions. Jeffrey.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman, and thanks for the presentation. I saw a lot of delays in sort of deliverables, and the biggest risk you say to the budget is the delays. Is there any reason to be optimistic that the pretty significant delay to the liquor luxury tax won't affect the deliverables on any other tax category over the overall project? I mean, is there any optimism that August 2029 is still a reasonable goal, or are we pretty much assured there's going to be some sort of budget impact on this at some point?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Mr. Jeffrey, thank you for that question. You had a bunch of questions in your question, so I'll try to take them one at a time. Let's talk about the optimism. If you look at the Gartner report, okay, it is looking backwards. The last 90 days, we have been working with Voyatech, and we have seen tremendous progress. Voyatech has come through with incredible talent pools. They're hiring people. We've actually seen working software that we had not seen in the past. So had you asked me this question prior to 90 days, you know, I would not have that much optimism, but the last 90 days have given me tremendous, not only myself, but Director Woods and the entire project team is extremely optimistic, which is why we are here. And so that's one reason, okay? The second question that you had asked was about the project timeline going beyond August 2029. As far as I'm concerned, as of today, is there is potential. It might go out, like I mentioned in my previous slides. We want to see how liquor luxury tax gets deployed. It is just not LLT. It's the whole engine with it. You know, all the bells and whistles that come with the entire integrated tax system, not to be confused with just one tax type, okay? Once LLT is deployed, you know, December, the 1.1, and then in March, we're going to go with the second release, we'll have even more confidence we can do it. And our confidence will quadruple once we get corporate out. Because the integrated tax system is a very complex undertaking. So as of right now, I can tell you is that my optimism is as of today, but I'm cautiously optimistic. But time is going to tell us as and when we start deploying these tax types. What I can tell you, sir, is that Voyatech, Department of Revenue, and all the stakeholders are incredibly committed, and they're working day and night to make sure this project is a success. Did I miss any questions, sir? I saw those two. Was there the third piece in there?
No, that was really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Go ahead, Christine.
Neeraj, I'm curious. I don't remember, when's your TPT? Where is TPT in the lineup of the tax types being delivered?
Yeah, so Mr. Chairman, Member Christine Ward, good question. We want to make sure we get LLT out first, then corporate, and then TPT follows.
So TPT is your last.
It'll be the third one. And I think, let me just get the particular slide here, you know.
So
if you go down to slide 11, basically, we have showcased only up to corporate. And we want to make sure that, okay, what have you lined up in corporate? But the bigger plan that we have showcased in the earlier presentations is that transaction privilege tax goes third. Now, the reason why we want to do that is because we want to get LLT out first, a simple tax types with all the functionalities. Corporate, these are very complex tax types. And now we are confident to go to TPT. So from your time at DOR, you must have remembered the TPT was a tough one. So we had lessons learned. Yeah. And they said that, you know, get your simple tax types out, get a more complex types out, you know, get your feet wet, learn, and then tackle the TPT. So in this particular presentation, we have focused only on LLT and corporate, but you have a wonderful question, and TPT is going to be going third.
Okay, so TPT and then income and withholding?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to tell you the truth, actually. I don't want to get too detailed in the out. I want to make sure that we get these two right first. And keep in mind that while we're doing corporate, there's also work being done behind the scenes for the TPT. The backend stuff is being worked, basically. But we want to learn a whole lot more before we can have a defined timeline.
Okay. Now, I was just asking, just probably post-traumatic Brits disorder. But TPT is, you know, that's quite an undertaking. And so I wanted to know that order, because when you talk about an extension of the timeline, you got a lot. You guys have a lot of wonderful adventure ahead of you. I don't envy you.
No, thank you for that. But I'll tell you, Mr. Chairman, Christine, is that we have one of the best teams that I've ever worked with, and Voitech is fully, completely committed. We have a program manager who's done this before many times successfully. And I think we have the best chances of doing a good job. And we're seeing some of the great results in the last 90 days.
All right. Any other questions from the committee members? If not, I think you've made reference, Niraj, that you expect to be coming back with a change request. I'm sure we'll have further discussions at that point. I don't know if you're ready to forecast when you think that change request will come through, but we will certainly watch for that, and the committee will be ready to engage at that point. But I appreciate the level of detail you shared and the transparency with which you've come forward on the status of your project.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Niraj. Okay, the last informational update comes to us from the Criminal Justice Commission.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Cheyenne McFadden, and I am an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I am joined here today by members of the Arizona Criminal Justice Commission. The team will briefly introduce themselves, then provide the committee with an informational update to the overall status of their crime victim notification system project. I will now turn it over to the Arizona Criminal Justice Commission to begin their presentation.
Thank you, Cheyenne. Mr. Chair, nice to see you again, and committee members. My name is Lloyd Asato. I am the program manager for systems improvement here at the Criminal Justice Commission. I'm joined by with two of my team members, Julie and Shayla. Sasha regrettably had a family issue and is not able to attend. Next slide, please. So our project is the crime victim notification system. This came out of House Bill 2482. Our state legislature created the Crime Victim Notification Fund and directed ACJC to manage the fund and to expand our current crime victim notification system, which provides notifications for county jails, and expand it to include law enforcement as well as prosecution. They've asked us to put a partnership together to bring in the vendors for both the jail system as well as law enforcement prosecution to create an end-to-end solution and to make that this system available to any agency, law enforcement agency, prosecution agency in the state that chooses to use it. So we've done that. We are here to provide an update on the system and also to prepare the committee that we intend to come back during your April meeting for a change request for the timeline. Next slide, please. So as of today, we have completed the system. We now have both our Vine system as well as Community Connect. Community Connect provides victim notification services for law enforcement as well as prosecution, connected with our Vine system, which provides victim notification for jails, into one unified crime victim notification system. We have onboarded 5,489 officers. We use sworn officers as our metric. It's what the CVNS defines as a user in the system. Currently, that represents 52% of our goal of 10,647 officers. And I should note that the 10,000 officers gets us to about 80-85% of the total number of officers in the state. In addition to trying to meet our goal of 10,000 officers, we want to make sure that we're extending protections to all Arizonans, especially those in smaller and more rural communities. So of the 15 agencies that represent the 5,489 officers, five are small agencies. These are 50 sworn officers or less. Five are mid-sized agencies from 50 to 200 sworn officers, and five are large agencies. The small agencies are like Pine Top, we have St. John's. The large agencies are, of course, Phoenix PD. We don't have any cost overruns or unexpected charges. We have completed our transition and milestones 1, 2, and 3. Milestones 4 and 5 are delayed and will need to be rebaselined. Next slide, please. So our overall condition is red, and the red is really as a result of our schedule. Milestones 4 and 5 have been delayed for various reasons. I'll go into them a bit more. But our budget, our scope are in the green. I think we're on track. Of the milestones, again, we've completed transition 1, 2, and 3. Milestone 4 agencies, currently we're at 5,489. We have milestone 4 agencies. Most of them are under contract and have been scheduled for installation. That is being delayed, but they are under contract. That would bring us to about a little over 8,000 sworn officers. And then we have another 15 additional agencies that are in discovery that either have contracts, proposals that they have not signed, or are in discovery. The inherent risk in the project is that this is a volunteer project. We are doing all we can to reduce any barriers, but agencies' participation is voluntary. Next slide, please. So our current project timeline, when we received the project, we did an estimate of 8 weeks from start to go live. The reality that we're finding out is that the 8 week timeline does not fit all agencies. Many are taking 12 weeks and more. Some of the delays for that include system transitions. Some of the agencies need board or council approval. There's been long delays as we go through various legal reviews as well. So, milestone 4 agencies, again, they're under contract, but the implementations are delayed, as well as milestone 5. We will, with your approval, come back in April to provide a up-to-date transition timeline. Next slide, please. our project burndown chart, again, we have 10,647 officers that we want to onboard. We've accomplished that. We have about 5,000 remaining. Of that 5,158 officers, we have about a little over 2,400 are under contract and scheduled over the next few months to be to go live. And then the rest of that we are in discovery. Next slide, please. As a result of the delay, the current the project finances are underspent. We have a variance of about $1.2 million. Those are due to milestone delays as well as monthly maintenance. The total number of officers being lower than what we had planned affects our monthly support costs. Next slide, please. The IVNV report, we work with InfoTech Research Group. They've identified four key risks. Risk number one, the timeline was largely based on generic implementation. Agency-specific timeline has created challenges, which is true. We had, for planning purposes, we had targeted an 8-week turnaround. We are seeing delays and we'll need to re-baseline that. We have a better visibility into our timeline and we'll be able to provide that at the next meeting. But we have updated timelines for milestone 4 agencies and are re-baselining milestone 5 project timelines as well. The other risk is the remaining scope of the project is unclear given the number of agencies currently in discovery. The outcome of one or more of these will impact our total. Additional scope changes may impact timelines and sworn officer counts. There is, as I said, we have currently a little over 8,000 under contract or in already gone live. We have another 15 or so agencies in discovery. We are implementing, or we're acting under a sense of urgency to close these contracts for two reasons. One, we want to make sure Arizonans are protected as soon as we can, but also to provide some clarity for our planning and reporting. So we're targeting June 2025 as a cutoff date for planning purposes or reporting purposes for contracts. That'll give us an opportunity to provide you with a more definitive timeline and scope. We feel that we will be able to meet our 10,000 promised sworn officers, although we'll need to re-baseline our project timeline. One key point I want to stress, the June 2025 cutoff is really just for reporting periods. Agencies that choose to close after that time period will be able to join the CVNS. We just want to provide a bit more clarity in our reporting back to your the committee. Next slide, please. Risk three, internal project governance is largely ad hoc with decisions said agencies largely decided outside. This is true. The project is voluntary. Our guidance, our direction from the legislature is to make this system available to any agency that chooses to use it. We work very hard to remove any barriers, but it is a it is voluntary. They can choose to use it, they can choose not to use it. We do acknowledge that risk. We are working very closely with the Association of Chiefs of Police, the Prosecutors Association, and the Sheriff's Association. We are making sure that all agencies in the state understand that this is available to them. And again, we work very hard to remove any of those barriers. And finally, sworn officer counts can be fluid and largely rely on dated information until project kickoff, creating challenges in planning and support of key project goals, which is true. So sworn officer counts change daily based on hiring and retirements. The variance though is not significant. It's less than 9% between what we use as our for planning purposes and what we're seeing as the actual sworn officer count. For planning purposes, we use AZ Post numbers. That's the Police Officer Standards and Training Board. Next slide, please. They did highlight some bright spots, which I'd like to share. One, we've assigned, you know, IVNV, we really wanted to take advantage of this and really improve, use their support and their knowledge to improve our process and process improvement to ensure that the project goes well, but also we take those learnings and implement it here at ACJC. So we've actually switched one of our project manager roles. So one project manager continues to manage the day-to-day of the project. The other one is really focused on process improvement and looking at holding all of us accountable and implementing new changes. Bright spot two, agencies are generally positive with their interactions with the vendor and happy with the implementation. Excuse me. Satisfaction is a real priority for us. We regularly meet with the vendors and we're really pleased. The response from the users has been very strong. They like the product. They see value in it, and that's been good. Bright spot three, there's been positive feedback on the availability of training and responsiveness. We worked really hard with the vendors early on, the two sets of vendors, to improve their training, both live and on demand. Excuse me. And I think the training is much better. The other thing too is, next slide, please. Yeah, the feedback surrounding the functionality of both SpiderTech, which is Community Connect, and Vine, these are the two software programs that make up the crime victim notification system, has been largely positive. There's very few technical issues. And then bright spot five, if I could clump them all together, agencies largely appear to understand how to utilize the tools, which is great. We chose a solution deliberately that could easily be implemented into agency workflows without a lot of disruption or extensive user training. The users work within their current systems. The CVNS works in the background. So training is very easy. The workflow is fully integrated, and this is integrated from the 911 call through investigations, arrest, prosecution, through incarceration and release. So it's from the victim standpoint, from the system standpoint, it's fully integrated and optimized all the way through. So we're very pleased about the system, how it's working, and the response, the user response. So I'll stop there for any questions. And again, thank you for giving us the opportunity to provide this update.
Thank you, Lloyd, for walking us through that. I'll open to the committee for any questions. I'll say kind of based on the information you shared, Lloyd, it looks like the system is really running and functional. It's really a matter of working through that onboarding process with the remaining jurisdictions. So
that's correct.
We'll hope for, we'll say, motivated people to want to move forward more quickly. But it seems like a good solution for the victim notification. So, all right. Were there any other questions from the committee? No. All right. With that, that brings us to a conclusion of the items we have for presentation today. There was one more written informational update on AZ360. That project will be, I think they'll be coming to present probably at our next meeting, provide an update in advance of the phase one go live. With that, our next meeting is scheduled for April 16th. I do want to remind folks, we're looking ahead a couple of months. We are moving our May ITAC date. We are pushing it back 1 week. That would be, I'm sorry, let me get my calendar here. From the 21st to the 28th. And that's to, is that right?
No, I'm sorry.
14th to the 21st.
22nd, from 21st, Mr. Chamberlain.
Okay, thank you, I'm sorry. Anyway, we've got on the 21st is our annual Digital Government Summit. which all state and local governments are participating in, and that happened to get scheduled on Wednesday the 21st. So we are going to shift our meeting to the following day, the 22nd, scheduled from 2 to 4. That should already be in your calendars. We've sent out the revised invite. Please let us know as you look ahead if there's any difficulties with that for you, and we'll make adjustments if we need to, but otherwise plan on the 22nd. Thanks, Halei, for the assist on that. That brings our content today to a close. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.